desperate times call for desperate measures, and Miss Arabella Trent was one desperate young lady. Perched on a branch of an ancient oak tree that stood on the south side of Cheyne Manor, she tried frantically to pry open the third-floor window. Leaning forward to get better leverage, her foot slipped, she lost her balance and started to fall. Quickly grabbing the branch she'd been standing on, she clung for dear life, her booted feet dangling in the air 20 feet above the ground. Oh, don't look down! Arabella squeezed her eyes shut and tried to ignore the rough bark scraping her palms. Her hands were slipping, and she knew she must hoist herself up again or tumble to her death. Climbing this tree and crawling through the bedroom window had been much easier when she'd been a child. But she was a child no longer, and that was the crux of her troubles. She gritted her teeth and swung herself back into a sitting position, straddling the branch. Thank goodness her old pair of breeches still fit. Her aunt had wanted to burn them, but Arabella had saved them from the rubbish pile and kept them hidden in a locked wooden box beneath her bed. One never knew when they would come in handy. And since climbing trees in skirts and petticoats was next to impossible, the breeches had indeed come in handy tonight. She sat on the branch and waited until her heart stopped pounding in her chest. Luckily, she hadn't screamed with fright when she'd fallen. If she woke the servants, all would be lost. The only one she intended to awaken was the lone occupant in the bedchamber behind that blasted window. The night was dark, and the stars twinkled brightly in the black sky above. The moon smiled down upon her, but Arabella didn't smile back. With a deeply inhaled breath, she stood and balanced again on the branch. Sending up a silent prayer, she pushed open the window and climbed through. Her foot caught on the windowsill, and she toppled to the floor, landing with a loud thump. She froze in a crouched position, her breath lodged in her throat. No sound came from the big bed standing across the room. Heavy curtains were drawn around the massive bedposts. Goodness, she'd made enough noise to wake the dead! Surely Gilbert had heard. What if he wasn't in his bed? What if he'd moved into his father's bedchamber now that he was the new Earl? What would she do then? Arabella picked herself up off the floor and tiptoed toward the bed. She parted the curtains and breathed a sigh of relief at the sight of the man sleeping so peacefully. He had changed a lot since she'd last seen him, though she shouldn't be surprised. It had been 10 years, after all. She had changed too, in many, many ways. The moonlight cast its silvery light through the window. Arabella stared at Gilbert. The friend of her youth had grown and matured, leaving his boyhood behind. Yet she would have known him anywhere. He had the same dark hair and those indecently long lashes she had always envied. His aquiline nose befitted his aristocratic heritage. His chin bore the same dimple, but his neck was thicker, stronger than when he'd been a boy. His bare shoulders were muscular, as was his chest. There was a lot of smooth, bare skin exposed, making her insides toss about in a most disturbing manner. Well, she couldn't stand here all night gaping at him. A sleeping Gilbert was no use to her, no use at all. Still, she hesitated before gingerly leaning a knee on the bed to shake one of those bare, muscular shoulders. Gilbert, she whispered loudly, shaking him again and again, her fingers burning against his skin. Gilbert, do wake up! It's me, Bella! Gilbert didn't so much as open an eye, only groaned and shifted, turning over onto his side, taking most of the bedsheet with him. Arabella's breath hitched at the sight of long, hairy legs. Goodness, was Gilbert actually naked under that sheet? She'd lived a sheltered life with her aunt and uncle. Who would have guessed some men slept without a nightshirt? All of this was beside the point. It had absolutely nothing to do with the horrendous circumstances that had made her flee the only home she'd ever known.